The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Rachel Morrow is with me in the meantime, the Chief Executive Officer, the CEO at the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, because they've got an annual report out today detailing the big increase, actually, in the number of calls, the number of people reaching out for their services. Rachel, you're very welcome to the show. Thanks a million for speaking to us. So can you talk us through the top line figures in your report?
Yeah, absolutely. So this report that we published today highlights that last year was the busiest year across Dublin Rape Crisis Centre's frontline services for the first time in its 46-year history. There were really significant increases in calls to the National Rape Crisis Helpline. They rose by 22%. We carried out 6,000 counselling appointments, which was an increase of 57%. And we spent around 300 days in court supporting people through the justice process. So we saw big uplifts in numbers. I suppose there's two sides you can read that. One is that it's really encouraging that more people are reaching out for help. And the other point that I'd make is that it really illustrates the scale of the sexual violence epidemic in Ireland today. But for the most part, we're encouraged by the numbers of people who are reaching out for support.
Are there within those figures, are there trends that are identifiable in terms of, and I'm just conscious maybe of little ears listening, and if there are, you know what I mean, maybe distract them for a few minutes, but in terms of the types of offences that are carried out?
Yeah, so one of the observations that we've made are that around 55% of our new therapy clients have experienced additional forms of violence alongside sexual violence. So that means they're experiencing psychological and physical violence as well as sexual violence. So that could be stalking, it could be spiking, it could be coercive control, threats to kill. These are all happening in people's lives. So although we're focused on the sexual offences, it's really a very dark part of people's lives that they're enduring, either as part of a once-off sexual assault that maybe additional violence is being used to facilitate that, or it's part of a pattern of longer-term abuse, and sexual violence is one of those multiple forms of violence that we're seeing.
And there has been more focus and a greater highlight on things like coercive control and the psychological impact of all of this in recent years. Might that explain some of the increase in that regard? That actually, maybe people in the past who might have reached out to your services might have only talked about the sexual element of the violence, and they just might not have even been aware of kind of what was happening around it.
Yeah, I think it's really important that we're starting to break down the silence around some of the issues that people in Ireland are facing. And we know that there is a big burden when it comes to sexual violence, that Ireland doesn't have the greatest history with this subject. I think there's still a lot of shame and blame and stigma associated with it. But I think there's been a lot of high profile legal cases as well, particularly last year. And we saw big spikes in the number of calls when those very high profile legal cases we're going through the courts. And I think that survivors of sexual violence like to see other survivors as well, maybe encouraging them to get support so that they know that they're going to a safe place where they will be believed, where they won't be judged, and where there is none of that shame and blame. And the survivors that have been speaking out after recent court cases have been encouraging people.
That's really encouraging, I'd imagine, for those survivors, because that's what they often talk about. And we've spoken to them on this show, and they'll say, listen, they never wanted to be in this position. They didn't want to be out there kind of as a spokesperson for all of this, but they were doing it to encourage people to reach out to those services. So, I mean, to hear you see there's a tangible bump in the numbers of people who reach out in the wake of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we looked at the figures month by month, January is always a busy month because it's after Christmas. So people may have been coming face to face with their perpetrator at family events. People's passion of work is different. We find that, say, lunchtime calls are much busier. So people take a break during lunch and they call Dublin Rape Crisis Centre.
And they're not at home.
Yeah, there's these like patterns that we observe that like people don't think about unless they're the ones making the call, but we see them in our data. So lunchtime is busier. January is a busy month because of those family events.
And bad weather? If people are stuck at home, I'm just conscious of people. Remember speaking to solicitors around COVID, people who were dealing with kind of HSE cases and barring orders and just how they went through the roof. the levels of domestic violence in some cases.
Yeah, you know, because when people are stuck at home. And I think that, again, the idea that we have of a perpetrator is, you know, somebody in a dark lane in a dark night. Mm. But actually, most of the perpetrators are people we know and often people we live with. So that accounts for January. But then in July and November, July, if you remember the Raymond Shorten, the taxi case, there was a lot of media coverage about that. And a survivor called Blanid Raleigh as well waived her anonymity. And those two cases really drove a spike in calls to Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. And then in November, if you remember, there was a civil case that involved Nikita Hand and Conor McGregor, which obviously he's appealing at this point. But that really led to a significant increase in calls.
So you mentioned as well the number of repeat calls. Have people gotten better as a society, as we've kind of gotten better ourselves more generally at embracing the idea of counselling and therapy and the value of it? Have you seen then a corresponding increase in repeat calls, people leaning on the service beyond that initial reaching out?
Yeah, I think that people do rely on it, and that they know that if there's something that triggers them or they're finding particularly traumatic, they know where to go to make that call. We also receive a lot of silent calls, so people are probably working up the courage to actually speak about, to form those words about what happened to them. And that's when the web text becomes really useful, because a lot of people aren't ready to actually say what happened to them, but they can start by typing. So we'd encourage people to reach out in that form too.
Where then are there still shortcomings in the service to survivors of sexual violence?
I think that there's still a lot of stigma around sexual violence. I think that it's something that is like really challenging people in coming forward still. I think that we're fighting sexual violence on new fronts as well. I think that the increase in physical violence, the psychological violence, the sexual assault treatment unit is reporting that weapons are used in 7% of the cases of the patients who go there. They're noticing physical restraints are being used in 4 in 10 cases of people who go to
an increase.
The weapons is, yeah. And 4 in 10 cases over years has been rising. So the sexual assaults are getting more violent, which obviously is really concerning. So there's something awry. Like, sexual violence doesn't exist in a vacuum. It exists in a society that can make it thrive. And unfortunately, I think that we really do need to do much more as a society to try and tackle it and get that prevalence down.
Well, the National Rape Crisis Helpline is 1-800-778-888. It's a 24-hour helpline. Rachel Morrow is the CEO of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. Rachel, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.